Bright Future, Spring 2022, read by Brian King and Kevin Treese. This newsletter contains 16 pages. Approximate reading time, 30 minutes. Bright Future, a publication of the Oklahoma Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, Services for the Blind and Visually Impaired Division, Oklahoma Department of Rehabilitation Services. Volume 37, Number 2, Spring 2022. 300 Northeast 18th Street, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73105. 405-521-3514. Toll free 1-800-523-0288. Fax 405-521-4582. TTY-TDD 405-521-4672. Email olbph@okdrs.gov. Website www.olbph.org. Bright Future is also available in Braille, on Oklahoma Telephone Reader, on Oklahoma Recorded Magazines, and on our website. Use Bookshelf to find titles. Locating specific book or magazine titles on a cartridge containing multiple titles is easy if you use the Bookshelf feature on your digital player. It allows you to navigate back and forth through the cartridge to find the magazine or book title you want to read. Follow these steps to locate the magazine or book you want. 1. Insert the cartridge into the player. 2. Hold down the green Play Stop button until you hear the word Bookshelf. 3. Release the Play Stop button and tap down on the white arrow-shaped Fast Forward button to the right of the Play Stop button to move through the titles on the cartridge until you hear the title of the magazine or book you want to read. To move back through the titles on the cartridge, follow steps 1 and 2, then tap down on the white arrow-shaped Rewind button until you hear the title you are seeking.
Director's Column by Kevin Treese, Library Director. I'd like to express my appreciation for one of the OLBPH's larger circles of influence. While we are a specialty library, we share like goals and enjoy our relationships with community public libraries all across Oklahoma. I was recently a co-presenter at a branch manager's meeting for the Eastern Oklahoma Library System. This system includes Muskogee, Adair, Cherokee, Delaware, McIntosh, and Sequoia counties. So, in one 20-minute presentation, we shared information with 15 libraries in 6 counties, spreading the word about what we have to offer citizens who may need our specialty library services. The Eastern Oklahoma Library System is one of 8 library systems in Oklahoma. An even larger circle of influence for us is the Oklahoma Library Association, OLA. We exhibit and network at OLA's yearly conference. This year's conference was an enhanced opportunity as the attendance at previous 2 years was limited by the COVID-19 pandemic. There were many new folks to start relationships with. We also refreshed friendships with established contacts. We made sure to emphasize the services we offer visually and physically disabled readers have much improved with the ability to enjoy multiple titles on one audio cartridge. We really do value opportunities, including both planned events and random public library visits we make in our travels. These relationships enable us to share our common helper profession goals with other library institutions. Staffs of community libraries know their patrons personally and can refer them to our services as they observe their reading needs and share our vision that all may read.
AIM Center updates. Textbook and equipment orders. Hard to believe, but we are close to completing the 21-22 school year. We have weathered more than 2 years of a pandemic and hope the 22-23 school year will bring about better challenges and fewer health scares. Of course, the close of one school year means it's time to order textbooks and equipment for the next. Please submit textbook orders to the AIM Center before you leave in May. Any textbooks that have not already been produced in large print will take approximately 4 to 6 weeks to produce. Braille textbooks that have not already been produced take 12 to 16 weeks to complete, so it's imperative we receive these orders as soon as possible. We will begin shipping all orders the first week of August. Please find the textbook order form under the AIM Center tab at www.olbph.org, then scroll down to the section titled AIM Center Forms. Submit order to Pepper, P-W-A-T-S-O-N, at okdrs.gov. Summer Reading. Does your student have an assigned summer reading list or simply enjoy escaping into a good book during summer break? The AIM Center carries a large selection of Braille and large print novels that parents can check out for their students over the summer. Contact Pepper at pwatson@okdrs.gov for details. Oklahoma Reads, showcasing fiction and nonfiction books in our collection that are about Oklahoma, its history, and its people. DBC 12218, Every Night is Saturday Night, A Country Girl's Journey to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by Wanda Jackson. The Queen of Rockabilly by Andrew Shockley, Administrative Librarian. Biography fans, music fans, and anyone interested in Oklahoma's contribution to pop culture, we have a new title for you. Recorded and produced by the OLBPH's studio, Every Night is Saturday Night is the autobiography of the Queen of Rockabilly, Wanda Jackson. It was narrated by Allison Marushka, who is the subject of our volunteer spotlight on page 8. Born in 1937 in Maud to blue-collar parents who had a knack for music, Wanda Jackson spent her teen years in Oklahoma City's South Side performing on local country radio stations while attending Capitol Hill High School. At the youthful age of 17, Wanda had her first hit with the country song, You Can't Have My Love. She then began touring with Elvis Presley, who encouraged her to record in the rockabilly style. A string of rockabilly hits followed, Fujiyama Mama, Mean Mean Man, and Let's Have a Party, among others. In the years and decades following these rockabilly hits, Wanda Jackson returned to country, focused on gospel music for a time, as well as revisiting her rockabilly notoriety. Recognition for Wanda Jackson's contributions to music was slow at first, but by the 21st century, this began to change. In 2008, the Smithsonian Channel produced a documentary about her titled The Sweet Lady with the Nasty Voice. In 2009, she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In 2019, Ken Burns profiled her in his documentary about country music. Now in her 80s, the Queen of Rockabilly resides in semi-retirement in Oklahoma City. Discover why Every Night is Saturday Night. Another autobiography recorded in the OLBPH studio, DBC 01830, Right Down the Middle by Ralph Terry. The top right-handed pitcher on the fabled New York Yankees teams of the early 60s, Ralph Terry remembers his remarkable life in baseball and professional golf. It's an inspiring story of a rookie from small town, Big Cabin, Oklahoma, taking the field with the likes of Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, and Yogi Berra, among others. Ralph Terry died earlier this year, March 16, 2022, at the age of 86. OLBPH helps fellow library with Park Project by Lacey Downs, Braille Transcriber. The OLBPH recently provided its Braille knowledge to the Stillwater Public Library, SPL, for SPL's Story Walk at Strickland Park. According to SPL, a story walk is an innovative and delightful way for children and adults to enjoy reading and the outdoors at the same time. Laminated pages from a children's book are attached to stakes, which are installed along an outdoor path. As you stroll down the trail, you're directed to the next page in the story. To make the story walk accessible to Braille users, children's librarian Elizabeth Murray contacted the OLBPH for suggestions for low-cost, weatherproof Braille options. The solution? Clear plastic sheets with an adhesive backing designed specifically for making Braille labels. The OLBPH transcribed the book and embossed the Braille pages as part of its mission so that all may read. Transcription and embossing services are part of the library's outreach and community services efforts. The current story walk features Let's Dance by Valerie Bowling. Other accessibility features include larger text on the print pages and audio. The next story walk opens in late May and will feature ABC Yoga by Christiane Ungel. For the grand opening date of the next story walk, or to learn more, visit http://library.stillwater.org. Volunteer Spotlight by Brian King, editor. She is a lifelong Oklahoman who is into voice acting, does improv comedy at OKC Improv, helps fight Medicaid fraud, has a degree in museum studies, is a brown belt in karate, and just finished narrating her first book. Those are just some of the ingredients that make up the complex but very entertaining volunteer we're featuring this season, Allison Marushka. Allison, who has been volunteering in the OLBPH recording studio weekly since 2019, is the voice of the studio's latest book, the Wanda Jackson autobiography, Every Night is Saturday Night, A Country Girl's Journey to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, DBC 12218. Allison grew up in Moore and now lives in southwest Oklahoma City with four of what she calls fur babies, two dogs and two cats. She earned a bachelor's degree from the University of Central Oklahoma, majoring in museum studies with a minor in theater. Coincidentally, her museum background includes experience at the Harn Homestead, which is adjacent to the OLBPH property. She is now a fellow state employee, working in the Medicaid Fraud Unit at the Oklahoma Attorney General's Office as an administrative assistant. "I help keep the wheels turning," Allison says. "When the attorneys panic and they suddenly need a document for court or a case that's going to trial tomorrow, and it's 36 pages and they need it all organized in a binder, they come to me." Allison's desire to be a voice actor led her to take a class at Francis Tuttle, where she met two people who had volunteered at OLBPH. They recommended it as a way to get microphone experience. But before getting her time in the recording booth, she developed valuable skills as an editor. "I like both ends of the work I do here," Allison said. "I enjoyed the narration, but now that the book is finished, I'm back to editing. On the editing side, you hear things that help you know how to do better work in the studio, how to make it easier on the editor." After being chosen by the studio staff to narrate the Wanda Jackson book, Allison did a significant amount of research. She listened to recordings of Jackson in younger and older stages of life, both speaking and singing. Allison incorporated a subtle, somewhat sassy Southern Belle accent into her imitation of the artist. She also used her acting skills to alter her speech and bring life to other characters in the book. "I hope listeners enjoy it, and I hope I did Wanda justice in narrating her story, because she is a wonderful lady and has a very interesting life." Book Corner by Andrew Shockley, Administrative Librarian. Here is a mix of fiction and nonfiction for your consideration. DB 84209, Gates of Europe, A History of Ukraine, by Serhii Plakhy. With Ukraine in the news currently, a historian takes a look at its history. Its relationship with Russia over the centuries is discussed, as well as its unique geography contributing to its strategic importance to European, Russian, Mediterranean, and Asian empires. The author also discusses Russia's renewed aggression toward Ukraine in the past decade. DB89395, The Future is History, How Totalitarianism Reclaimed Russia, by Masha Gessen. Written by Russian-born American journalist, this title explores Putin's Russia, its dashed hopes for liberal democracy, and subsequent slide into an undemocratic and totalitarian mafia state. This is done by examining four people and their lives and how their hopes and dreams have been entirely destroyed by Putin's totalitarianism. DB22426, The Presidency of Martin Van Buren, by Major L. Wilson. In this biography, the author re-examines the notion of the eighth president as an unprincipled spoilsman. His presidency, long denigrated, was, the author says, at least a qualified success. DB101057, Custer, by Larry McMurtry. Another complicated American historical figure is surveyed in this biography. The Pulitzer Prize-winning author Larry McMurtry examines the life of General George Armstrong Custer, particularly his involvement in the Montana battle with the Lakota Cheyenne, known as Custer's Last Stand. DB103799, Dead Dead Girls, by Nikesa Afia. New York, 1926. The Harlem Renaissance is in full swing, and when young women start disappearing around her, Louise Lloyd goes on alert. Having survived a kidnapping as a teen, she's determined to have a normal life. But when she discovers a dead body outside the cafe where she works, she must work to find the killer. DB75816, The Life of Objects, by Susanna Moore. In 1938 Ireland, 17-year-old Beatrice Palmer, desperate to leave her small village, is thrilled when a German countess hires her to make lace for her aristocratic family. Once in Germany, Beatrice is caught up in the outbreak of World War II. DB71713, Not Even If You Begged, by Francis Ray. In this romance, 30-something attorney Tracy Evans is honored to join the Invincible Sisterhood, a group of older widows, although she does not mourn her cheating husband. While fellow member Maureen Gilmore falls in love with a younger man, Tracy meets Maureen's unmarried son. DB106029, The Badger's Revenge, by Larry Sweezy. In this western, Texas Ranger Josiah Wolfe and his friends are tracking a raiding party, then run afoul of a notorious gang leader known as the Badger. Editor's note: the following article by Glenn Hatter, a DRS colleague whose office is in the OLBPH building, is in response to the recent death of U.S. Senator Orrin Hatch, a key figure in the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act. I Had an Opportunity, Did I Blow It? By Glenn Hatter, DRS Programs Field Representative. As a young vocational rehabilitation counselor, I was chosen to go to a meeting in Arkansas, where folks from all over the United States were gathering to work on some language for some legislation that Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican from Utah, and Senator Tom Harkin, Democrat from Iowa, were working on together. I was astonished and surprised to find that two men who seemed to be from different sides of the planet in a political view could sit at a table to discuss legislation they were both obviously passionate about getting right, with people equally passionate about their opinions being included. As a youngster at the table those days, I was hesitant to say a word. But their calls for ideas opened me up to share my thoughts on some of the questions and issues. Honestly, I don't remember a word I said during the meetings. My words probably were not that impressive. Later, Hatch and Harkin both encouraged me to reach out to Oklahoma's senators and the representative from my district for support of the legislation. Fast forward a few months, and I happened to be coming back from a convention in Washington, D.C. There was a call on the speakers at DFW Airport for volunteers to give up their seats on the flight to Tulsa for two VIPs trying to get home for busy weekends. I looked up and recognized the two men standing beside the gate as Senator Don Nichols and Representative Mike Sinar from my home district in Tulsa, and it was campaign season. I saw my opportunity to do what Senators Hatch and Harkin talked about. I stepped forward and offered my ticket for one of them, on the condition they both would give me 10 minutes of their time to talk about the Americans with Disabilities Act. The politicians took me up on the offer. As we talked, Sinar asked a bunch of pointed questions, including how he should address concerns from his constituents about the expected high cost of making accommodations. I now believe he wanted ideas to handle the pushback he was already experiencing back home. One question Sinar asked me was, "What will you do if I don't vote for the bill?" I told him, "I am just one voter, and my vote for or against you does not stand on this one issue. In fact," I continued, "I am more likely not to vote for you if your constituents are dead set against the bill and you vote for it." Sinar responded, "I have never had a voter tell me that." We shook hands, and off Sinar and Nichols went to board the plane. I know they didn't listen completely to all that young man from Tulsa said that day. Most of their constituents were, in fact, against the bill because it was going to be so expensive. But in the end, they both voted in favor of its passage. On this issue, they did the right thing. Every year, as the anniversary of the signing of the ADA comes around, I think of the mistakes I made and the pride I had in those senators and representatives in Washington who did the right thing in a nonpartisan way, even when it wasn't the most popular thing to do. The Back 40 by Jim Kettler, contract monitor and BEP training associate. Spring is my favorite time of the year because it always seems to come when I can't take any more dismal and cold weather. It refreshes and brings back hope for spring's new beginning. When I was a boy, spring at our house was when we could start opening the windows again and let in some fresh air. The chickweed, dandelions, and clover would come out and would endure until the hot weather of summer would come. I thought, and still think, that these are pretty plants that have their rightful place. Did you know that was the general opinion until after World War II? Would you like to know why? Many manufacturers of chemicals were employed by both the Allies and the Axis powers. The Axis, mostly Nazi Germany, used them for manufacturing chemicals used in warfare, notably cyanide. Bayer was one of the chemical suppliers for Germany. Yes, that Bayer, which makes aspirin today. Their goods were no longer in the same demand after World War II was over, so they had to find other markets. This is when some of the chemical manufacturers discovered that they could beautify the world by supplying fertilizers and weed killers. They could also provide relief from bugs by making insecticides. So began the marketing based on these weeds being portrayed as bad. Model lawns would be free of those awful weeds. They would be deep, lush, green, and without all those terrible bugs. So now we spend a fortune killing weeds and pests while we invest significantly in fertilizers to green up our lawns and make our flowers and vegetables prize winners. Many a neighborhood has undeclared competitions between neighbors to see who can have the prettiest lawn. Even though it often means mowing the lawn twice as often, it is pursued with great enthusiasm. I would like it if we could just turn the clock back a bit, reconsider the natural place of these nuisances, and enjoy their beauty instead of trying to make them extinct. But maybe that's just me. What do you think? MLV Foundation upcoming events. Hooks, Oars, and S'mores. Saturday, June 4th from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Boomer Lake in Stillwater. To register or for more information, go to www.hooksoarsandsmores.com. That's www.hooksoarsandsmores.com. Intensive Weekend Retreat for those newly diagnosed blind and their spouse, caregiver. June 10th through the 12th. Go to http://mlvfoundation.org for details. MOKA Conference for the Blind includes participants from Missouri, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas. August 4th through the 6th. Bentonville, Arkansas. www.mokacfb.com. How do you want to receive this newsletter? Email users, are you okay with having Bright Future show up in your inbox 4 times a year? Or would you rather have a large print copy delivered to your mailbox? Perhaps you received this issue in the traditional mail, but have a working email address and would prefer electronic delivery. Email is more affordable, faster, and much easier to distribute. You can help us improve efficiency by sharing your email address with us. It will not be used for any other purpose or shared with any other organization, so you don't have to worry about getting more unwanted messages. If you would like us to change how you receive Bright Future, please let us know by calling 405-521-3514, 800-523-0288, or emailing olbph@okdrs.gov. Bright Future is the official publication of the Oklahoma Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It was printed by Heritage Solutions in El Reno, Oklahoma. It is published 4 times a year. Kevin Treese is the library director, and Brian King is the editor. In providing information to readers of Bright Future, the Oklahoma Department of Rehabilitation Services does not endorse any product or service referred to by this newsletter. This publication is authorized by the Oklahoma Department of Rehabilitation Services in accordance with state and federal regulations, with copies deposited with the Oklahoma Department of Libraries Publications Clearinghouse. Cost of printing and distribution was $2,658.53 for 2,500 copies. DRS does not discriminate on the basis of race, color, national origin, age, gender, religion, genetic information, gender identity, sexual orientation, political affiliation, marital status, disability, or ancestry in employment or the provision of services. For additional copies, contact the Oklahoma Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, 405-521-3514. End of Bright Future. Recorded in the studios of the Oklahoma Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, May 2022. Monitored by Scott C. Reviewed by Deborah Thompson.